There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Preparations have been underway for months now to prepare for this day. So we've been very mindful of the fact that this report would someday be released. He does not believe that the use of these enhanced interrogation techniques is justified. He does not believe that that makes us safer. He does not believe that's in the core national security interest.
White House spokesperson, a.k.a. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest there, talking about this report that's about to drop on the CIA and terror techniques after 9/11, thanks to the Senate Intelligence Committee. That's where we start, and where we wind up is going to be really interesting, folks. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Coming up, you're not going to want to miss this. Dan Perkins, an expert on radical Islam, talks about a dirty bomb and the oil wars for the next two segments. Some really good food for thought. So here's the scoop. This has been a long time coming. 6,000 pages is what this report is altogether. However, it's interesting. You heard what Josh Earnest had to say there about the president thinks it's, you know, wrong, the torture techniques. I'm just paraphrasing here, but these are other things that have been said. So if this is the problem I have with that statement, why then was nobody really interviewed for this? The Durham report never interviewed any of the victims of the torture, right? Just saying we should all move on, blomp, that's it. They also only really have one person from the CIA, Jose Rodriguez, who destroyed the tapes of the waterboarding sessions, which would be, what, criminal evidence? If this is what the Obama administration thought, he said everything. Rodriguez said, listen, there's nothing to keep here because everything was legally bound. We went to the letter of the law. We made sure that anything we did was cleared with the Justice Department. So it's interesting because in the beginning of Obama's presidency, one of the first things that happened is they went after the CIA, lashing out about terrorism and talking about torture was no way to react to this. And they were horrified by waterboarding techniques and stress positions and things that happened in the name of justice after 9/11, and that we were not barbaric and that we should not do that as we are Americans and we don't do torture. And the CIA, of course, was stunned because the people that did the techniques, the investigators, the interrogators, if you will, were told this is completely covered off. It is legal. It is covered off. This is what you're doing. Here's where you're going. But then when Obama came into office, he said, no way. This is barbarity. We're not going to stand for this. We're going to get to the bottom of this. But nobody was ever prosecuted. There was no specific information tied to, okay, this is what we know. Here's what was said. Here's what happened. Not really. And then these tapes were destroyed, too. And the CIA says there was other evidence proving that the torture sessions were not torture at all. And the Senate committee, the Intelligence Committee, started in that direction. So nobody's been accountable for anything. And now we're going to have this 6,000-page report, and we're supposed to be shocked and horrified and say that this is wrong, that during the Bush-Cheney era, they were negligent, they were derelict in what happened here. But nobody has ever answered for that. So during the Obama administration. He went in saying that, in fact, had to go down to the CIA. I've said this many times on this show. For some reason, this never gets talked about because we were starting to lose our best investigators, our best people who spent their life with, you know, pretty much no life, trying to flush out the bad guys. And they thought, whoa, look, they're trying to dump this on our doorstep. I'm done. I'm going into the private sector. I'm out of here. And so the president, one of the first things he had to do was run down to the CIA to make sure that they all realized, hey, we appreciate what you're doing. Didn't want to see a mass exodus of our brightest and our best. Because then you talk about being caught with no protection. That's what would happen. So here's the deal. If you remember, early on, one of President Bush's decisions was to waive the Geneva protections for terror suspects. So what we know anyway is only, I think, little shreds here and there. So I want to know, with all this dripping out of how damaging this is going to be to America, and how we denounce Saddam Hussein and the torture that his sons especially perpetrated on the people of Iraq, what is it that we're going to see that's going to just blow us away? What is it that we're going to be just horrified by? And then what is that going to do? Here's the other part of this. What is that going to do to American soldiers who are in some of these spots? Is it so awful, the stuff that's contained in here, that is going to ignite the world, especially the world of the Middle East, in some of these areas, to come after American soldiers even more, to shoot at and try to capture American soldiers? And who's not going to be protected in this? Who's not protected? And where's the accountability then? Where's the accountability and where's the punishment when we get down to it? If this was way over the top and had nothing to do with the rule of law and the CIA was deceiving us, then who answers for that? Who's accountable for that? And the answer is no one's going to be accountable for this anyway if this was so outrageous. Who are the scapegoats? It's probably what it's going to come down to. Who are the scapegoats in it? And so then the question becomes, do you care? Do we need to know this? Do we want to know this? Because we deserve to know this since it's tainting our reputation, or no? This is in the past. We're talking about just after, we're talking about just after 9/11, when almost 3,000 people were killed. And I think there's going to be, a massive torture rift between the old administration, which there already is, and the new administration or the current administration, and the new and the old CIA. General Hayden, Michael Hayden, has gone crazy over this, saying it's ridiculous and outrageous and puts us in a precarious position by releasing that. And behind the scenes, the CIA, the State Department, they've been fighting not to publish the report. Yes, not to publish it. In fact, Secretary of State John Kerry, yes, John Kerry, called Dianne Feinstein last Friday because he was concerned about the report. So what is in that report? That's what I want to know. What are we going to unearth in the report that we don't already know? Are we going to have more specifics? Hey, speaking of specifics, Dan Perkins on radical Islam on the flip side here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment permanent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Well, if you're keeping track, keeping a scorecard, you know things just seem to be getting worse when it comes to this Islamic State gang. I call them the men in black, the terrorists. Now they're saying that they have a dirty bomb, and they're going to use that dirty bomb, that they've stolen uranium, and they're ready to put this together. And then there's a few other tentacles in place with this giant monster called ISIS. And we've been talking about this, obviously, a lot here on America Tonight. Joining us now in our virtual green room, Dan Perkins. He is a nationally recognized expert on radical Islam. He's been on with us once before. Hey, Dan, thanks for coming back.
Thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed the last time.
So what do you make of this dirty bomb info that was just, you know, blasted all over social media?
If you know anything about my trilogy, the first book, Brotherhood of the Red Nile, is about a terrorist organization in the Middle East, in Syria, who has two suitcase dirty bombs, which they work with the Iranian nuclear program to convert them into weapons of mass destruction and use them against the United States. I would say to you that the number of interviews requests that I've had through my publicist since this story broke last Friday is mind-boggling, because people are looking at my first book in this trilogy and say, how did you know? And it's somewhat scary, but the reality is that I expected it, because in interviews, probably what I did with your show and other shows I've done over the last 2 years, I said you have to understand the mentality of the Islamic terrorist. They have to continue to raise the bar of their intimidation, because they have to make people afraid of them. we had the first man beheaded, and it caused an outrage. And then we had a second, and we had a third. And then the most recent beheading was 15 at one time, 15 Syrian officers. But what happened over the series of beheadings is that, as terrible as it sounds to say, we became complacent. It's another beheading. It's another beheading. It didn't carry the weight of the impact of the shock value that the first one did. And as a result, ISIL has to step up and become more aggressive. Now, some of the published tweets that I saw after this initial story broke last Friday on Breitbart is that they're now saying that they think that the appropriate Western initial target for their bombs is London. Now, just think about if you go into the dictionary and you look at the word terrorist, in the definition of terrorism or terrorist, it is people or organizations that create fear. There are people who are talking about the bombs that the ISIL could build as being low grade, and I'm not a nuclear expert to tell how effective. I do know, and I was doing the research when I wrote the first book and studied the construction of dirty bombs. Two things are important: the amount of nuclear material you have and the quality of it, and the propellant, which is the explosive. We don't know what the explosive is, but the idea, if you think about it, if you're in London and you just read in the Daily Mail that ISIS said that London is one of the cities that they would attack with this nuclear bomb, have they changed the attitude of the people in London?
Exactly.
They've raised an element of fear. It's exactly what they're doing. And so if a bomb goes off in London and it's a low-yield bomb, that nuclear contamination is going to be there for many, many years. So a part, maybe it's small, but depending on where they put it, if they put it in Piccadilly Circus or Trafalgar Square or anywhere around Buckingham Palace, and that area of London is off limits and surrounded by walls of protection for decades, it's there. So I'm very concerned about that attack because it says they're stepping up. They're stepping up to the big time, which I really believe, and I'm not the only one. Cheney said, probably last spring, that he believes that the next major attack from the terrorists against the United States is going to cost hundreds of thousands of lives. And when pressed, he didn't say it was nuclear, but the only way you can get there is with nuclear.
Yeah, and you have to think where your mind goes. Where are you going to put a bomb in the United States? Where would that happen nuclear-wise, hundreds of thousands of lives? And we look to our biggest cities, right? And always a target is New York City. Right, Dan?
Yes, but if you look at the first book, there are four scenarios that I've created in book one in 2012 of possible attack. None of them are major cities. The reason why they're not major cities, and there's a whole series of other possible targets that are discussed by the terrorists in this book, but they eliminate New York or Washington, D.C., because what they did in the beginning of book one was the leader, Mohammed al-Sargon, is saying to his think tank of Western-educated scientists and engineers and professionals who are not terrorists, that don't live in caves and don't shoot guns and wear beards and funny towels on their heads. He said the problem, they all came back when they were charged with what did al-Qaeda do wrong, and that what al-Qaeda did wrong was it didn't, in any of its attacks, even when it bombed the World Trade Centers and the Pentagon, it did not make a sustainable, long-term change in America. It didn't bring America to its knees. You take those two bombs that I talk about in book one, and you put them in certain places, and you read book one, and you say, this is possible. It shows in book one how vulnerable, and there is no major city in the four places of possible attack. It seems logical that I would go to Washington or I'd go to New York or whatever. But if you really want to do long-term damage to this country and bring it to its knees, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Washington, not where you put the bomb.
Do you think people are more vigilant now or more apt to relax once they hear, you know, as you were talking about the beheadings in the beginning and everybody's outraged and, oh, geez, we have to do something. What about airstrikes and what about forming a coalition? Do you think there is a tendency to people for people to get dulled and let their guard down?
I think that's a wonderful question, and thank you for giving it to me. I think what's going on is there is a open misleading of the American people. I think if you went out on the streets of your city and you interviewed 100 people and you said, the president has said to the nation and to the world and to the terrorists, we are going to degrade and destroy you. And we started this mission with air attacks. And so that I think that a huge percentage of Americans would respond to your inquiry. Yes, America's doing something about it. I feel safer. They're not going to hurt us. But if you said to them, the average numbers of airstrikes per day through the coalition forces in Syria and Iraq are 5. When in Desert Storm, they were 1,100 a day. Would you feel comfortable just doing 5?
No.
And so we're not, the mainstream media is not really reporting what's going on. Interesting, if I, again, using your question and creating an example for you. I don't know whether you saw it. When the third Secretary of Defense for the President resigned, Mr. Hagel.
Mm-hmm.
You might have seen him when he was talking in the White House, flanked by the President and the Vice President of the United States, and he was thanking all the people that he had the opportunity to serve with. Did you happen to notice that he didn't thank the President or the Vice President?
I did notice that, actually, yes.
So the Secretary of Defense, who was clearly an outspoken critic of the president's philosophy on how we're supposed to deal with ISIS and ISIL in Syria and Iraq, was let go because he disagreed with the president's policy. It wasn't but a month before that happened when the president went to the Pentagon on a Friday afternoon, sat with the commanding general and the attack planners, and they told him, Mr. President, this program is not working. We need to step up our activity. The president said to them, no, we're not. We're going to continue what we're doing.
All right, well, hold that thought as we're up against it, and we'll be back with more with you, Dan Perkins.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows, pause and rewind live TV, even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Time waits for no one. That's why you should hurry to not miss the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case lot sale. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663 to receive 20 to 25% off Mountain House freeze-dried foods. Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products, include real freeze-dried meats, entrees, eggs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, 20 to 25% off now. Also receive 30% off other selected Mountain House foods and receive 30% off selected Packaway brand dehydrated foods. Just call 866-404-3663 and ask for the Freeze Dry Guy. Plus, long-range patrol ration eggs and ham at superb discounts. But these are extremely hard to find and nearly gone, so call today. Ask about our LRP ice cream bars, too. Some items limited to stock on hand. And remember, the Freeze Dry Guy pays for shipping to your door within the lower 48 states. Order now. Don't miss out on the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case lot sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
All right, welcome back to America Tonight. We're continuing with Dan Perkins here and talking along the lines of that Obama strategy in Iraq.
Now, did you see the report last week that 250 soldiers from the 101st Airborne are being deployed to Iraq?
Yes.
We now have over 4,000 American soldiers in Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
And we're sending out 5 attacks a day. How do you do? I love to do interviews with people like you because you make me think, and hopefully I get a chance to make you think a little bit. But I'm thinking about what you're saying, and I'm saying, well, wait a minute. If they're only doing 5 attacks a day, is there a logical reason, and maybe you can help, is there a logical reason
to have
that
many
refinery, huh?
To have, talking about the troops, the amount of troops and the tax, the low amount of attacks.
Why is that refinery in northern Iraq is under ISIL control?
Right.
They're selling oil on the black market. Why has it not been bombed?
It should have been taken out immediately.
They're generating $1 million a day in income to ISIL through that refinery. But why is it still there? Why isn't it burning in the sky? Why are we targeting a corner of a building where a tower is and we're leaving this refinery? Why aren't we blowing up the pipelines? Why aren't we blowing up the pipelines and setting the pipelines on fire? And knowing that the ISIL people do not have any of the technology to put out the fires. So we're not doing any, I don't think we're doing, clearly we're not doing enough. But the American people are being misled because the American people hearing we're conducting raids and yada, yada, yada. So they think that the president is really being aggressive against ISIL. And here's the other thing. You may not have seen the op-ed that I posted last week, the day after Thanksgiving. And that is, there's a new terrorist group in the Middle East. And nobody's talking about it yet. But they're attacking the United States. It has a very interesting name. It's called OPEC.
Mm-hmm.
When we were having our Thanksgiving in Turkey, OPEC was meeting in Vienna and made the decision to not cut oil production, primarily at the behest of Saudi Arabia. Why? Because Saudi Arabia is willing to allow the price of crude oil to fall. Now it was $62 overnight tonight. But the price of crude oil fall because they desperately need the United States to stop drilling for oil and natural gas, and they need to stop all our alternative energy projects in the United States by making it economically unviable for those businesses to proceed by driving down the price of crude oil. And what's happening is, we as Americans, I did an interview this afternoon, a lady from New York said, gasoline's under $3 a gallon here. I can't remember the last time that gasoline was under $3. If you live in Oklahoma City, the price of gasoline is $1.98 a gallon. And the tremendous decline that we have seen since Thanksgiving that has continued last week and this week, we haven't even begun to see the impact. We could have a national average in this country for the price of gasoline at the pump for regular gas under $2 by the beginning of next year.
Right.
The implication of that is for every 1 cent decline in the price of gasoline at the pump puts, over a 12-month period, $1.4 billion in the American consumers' pockets. It is a massive tax cut for the American taxpayer.
Right, which
one
is awesome.
One lady told me that she said, I saved $20 on a fill-up of my gas tank. It's amazing, $20. So here's what's happening. They are attacking. They want to stop us. There's a piece of legislation that was passed 40 years ago. I'm going to ask you an embarrassing question, only to help prove a point. Can I ask, how old are you?
Do you think I'm going to tell you how old I am with the listener?
Let me ask you a question.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm not getting Social Security, and I'm not ancient.
All right, let's try it this way. I should have thought about it the other way. Let me ask you this question. In 1975, were you driving a car?
No.
In 1975, were you born?
No, I was a little older than just being born.
Okay. In 1975, what happened? You know what happened in
1975? Yeah, the rationing. I know about the rationing, yes.
The oil embargo from OPEC. And then again in 79. They wanted to get control of the world's economy, and they got control with this oil embargo, and they've had control for the last 40 years. In 1975, Congress passed a piece of legislation that forbade American oil companies to export raw crude oil outside the United States.
Yeah, and look at what's happened since then.
Yeah, well, we still haven't exported any crude. We've not been allowed. No American oil company's been allowed to export crude outside the United States.
Right.
Natural gas, yes. There are people in Congress right now who are saying that the president, either the president lifts the ban, or we're going to pass one of the first pieces of legislation to lift the ban on the exportation of crude oil. Imagine if we are one of the lowest price producers in the world, the political power we gain by lifting the ban and begin to compete against OPEC. Let me give you an example. The country of Iran needs, for its 2014-2015 fiscal year, ready for this? They need $148 a barrel to break even in their economy.
Wow.
and it's 63.
Wow.
What's happening is they are spending their sovereign funds in order to be able to provide for their people. You take Saudi Arabia away, the rest of the OPEC nations have very little reserves, cash reserves. So what happens is, if we have the ability to export oil and natural gas to the rest of the world, we become a competitor of OPEC.
Yeah.
We can do it at the lowest possible price, in addition to a currency that's going through the roof, escalating. Now, let's take one other quick side effect. I should have asked you how much time I've got, but Mr. Putin, the Russian ruble has dropped 50% against the U.S. dollar since the first of the year. You know that when he took Ukraine, his wedge of power to Western Europe to not interact was he could shut off the 40% supply of crude oil that Russia supplies to the Western Europe and the 32% of natural gas. What happens if we lift the ban and Mr. Putin opens up his mouth and we said, by the way, Western Europe, our tankers are on the way to you right now. You can tell Mr. Putin to go pound sand, because we will supply you with crude oil and natural gas to replace everything that the Russians have sold you.
Be huge.
Are
you kidding? I mean, it's huge. The implications are huge. We had a caller that brought this up last night. Absolutely. What the difference it would make would be unbelievable. And as you said, the key thing there, too, also is the political shift.
That's what Saudi Arabia is more concerned about than anything else, is that the power shift will take place to the United States. I was in my granddaughter's 7th birthday party last Saturday in Washington, D.C., or New York, excuse me. No, it was Washington, D.C., I'm sorry. And brother-in-law asked me, when we were talking about this supply, he says, do you really think we have enough crude oil in the United States that we can meet our needs and supply the rest of the world? I said, there's a place out in the West called the Green River Basin. Petroleum engineers and geologists have estimated, this is government land, okay? In that one location, geologists and petroleum engineers have estimated that the oil reserves in that deposit is greater, now this is, get this right, greater than the reserves in the rest of the world.
Wow, greater than the reserves in the rest of the world.
The world, right.
Wow.
The tar sands in Canada are greater than the reserves of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Point being, there's tremendous political power. But here is the bonus, and believe me, when my book 3 comes out at the end of this month, in the first week of January, if you have a chance to read it, you're going to say, wait a minute, we just talked about all this.
Mm.
He predicted this when he wrote this book, and it's now coming out. Everything we're talking about is in the book before it happened. But think about this. You are a sheikh in Saudi Arabia. You're now having to spend down your sovereign wealth fund because you don't have nearly enough oil revenue to pay the bills to support your people. You have a choice to make. Do I spend my reserves on my people, or do I spend my reserves funding terrorists? And the other OPEC members who have been providing capital and money to the terrorist organization around the world, who no longer will have it because they have to decide between feeding their people and feeding the terrorists, what do you think those politicians are going to decide?
They care about the money.
They care about keeping their job.
Yeah.
Because if they don't have the money to feed their people, they know there's going to be anarchy and they're going to lose their job.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the big pluses is the significant reduction of funding. And believe me, if you're working in a McDonald's in Tikrit, Iraq, you cannot not work and get enough money at that counter to pay for your AK-47 and all the bullets you need for your gun.
Wow, great stuff, Dan Perkins. This was really, really, really fascinating talking to you. Can't wait for the Brotherhood of the Red Nile trilogy. You can pick up all his stuff, of course, on Amazon.com. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
Alex Jones here. For the last 2 years, I've been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to design a nutraceutical formulation that has truly life-changing health benefits. So many other formulations out there contain toxic ingredients, synthetic additives, and even GMOs. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure ancient defense for you and your family. Visit InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow.
Coming up, we're going to check your emails as we run down to the mail room and pry it all open, overflowing as usual. But first, a couple of quick things. Coming up later this week, a conversation with Dick Cavett. Yep, you know Dick Cavett. Remember the interview with Richard Nixon? And over the years, some of the magical moments he had on TV. I went to I was at a broadcast museum in Chicago, and I didn't realize, because Cavett was sort of before my time, I didn't realize some of the interesting people that he had on his radio and television show, and he was known for his television show. But his book, he has a book that just came out that's really funny. It's called Brief Encounters. And he, even the foreword of the book was done by Jimmy Fallon, and Mel Brooks talked about it. And in the book, you know, he's got stuff from John Lennon and Johnny Carson, moments with those people, Woody Allen, Muhammad Ali, and they were, of course, people that he had interviewed and people he knew and whatnot. So I can't wait for that conversation to lighten the load in a different way with Dick Cavett. Also, another Nail the Score Wednesday into Thursday. It's our second hour reminder, our second hour last segment. You could hate football. but you like to play games. All you have to do is guess of the game that is chosen, who's going to win, and what you think the final score is going to be. Last time out, nobody nailed the score. Nobody picked Denver 24-17. Nobody thought that was going to happen. So maybe next time somebody will get lucky. We've had a couple of winners in the past. Maybe it will be you. And as I mentioned before, we're going to start to have some of the interviews throughout the show here and there of some of the great interviews we did over this past year, because as always, it was jammed with all kinds of people from all walks of life, from famous to just interesting to financial people to the crisis of the day and what's happening in the country, politics, all that kind of good stuff. Before we get there, though, and right now, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Josh, who says, "Hey, Kate, it's been a while. I just wanted to tell you, I think that releasing this torture report is torturous because we've been hearing about it for so long, and nobody is going to have their head roll as a result of it. So ultimately, what are we doing, throwing ourselves under the bus? I don't understand. And listen, it might be a Republican-Democrat fight, but I'm an independent, and I look at it as, does this help or hurt us in the United States? Do we need to rehash what happened after 9/11? Do we need for everyone in the world to question if we're barbaric because of things that were done in the name of getting information? For goodness sake, in the Middle East, these terror groups cut off the heads of Americans. And we waterboarded somebody? Not that I think waterboarding's great, but how do we even compare all of this? Bottom line is, too much damage by releasing it. It makes absolutely no sense to me. All right, another point of view on that one. This one from Lindsay, who says, first time I've emailed the show, Kate, like it, downloaded a bunch on the GCN website because I work different hours. I think the torture report should be released. That's all they're talking about when they go to national news locally for me. I think they should release it because why not? Look at Ed Snowden. Everybody was attacking Ed Snowden in the beginning, and now because of Snowden, who can't come back to the United States, changes had to be made at the NSA. And some of what he released was stuff that we needed to know as Americans as far as our phone calls and whatnot were concerned. How much information was being gathered on all of us, and what a ridiculous waste of taxpayer money after all. So what is in this report that we might learn from? Is there something in the report that helps us for the future? And for goodness sake, people certainly know of the waterboarding and the other techniques that were used because we heard about them for months on end, not that long ago. I don't think it's really going to hurt anyone, to be honest, because nobody's being held accountable anyway. Okay, so we go back to this. It's funny, they had a difference of opinion, but it does come back to accountability. So in trying to, extrapolate this story, I think it's going to be just a few scapegoats here and there, but I want to know if it's going to be released. What is it that's going to be so shocking that's going to just blow our socks off? What is it that it's going to do damage to our reputation? What is it that's going to be so outrageous? I really worry about the people that it could affect because of the aftershock of it. So it's a perfect excuse if I'm a terrorist. Okay, now we have this. See, these are the Americans. Look what they did, and it's barbaric, and blah, 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 blah. Whatever, however they word it, I don't even know. But however they would weave it into, well, I can see it. They could weave it into their videos, take chunks of it or whatever, and just kind of use that as blowback against the United States. The bottom line is it's coming out. So there's no brakes on this thing. This torture report is dropping, and that's it. And so we'll you know, heading into the holidays, we'll be talking about this. It's supposed to come out actually Tuesday. It's supposed to come out this week. And what is the CIA and what did the CIA do and what was the Justice Department thinking in their investigation? What did they come across? Because the Justice Department gave the high sign. The Justice Department looked at it and said, okay, this follows a rule of law. Legally, we can do this. Go figure. Moving on to something completely different. This one from Jake, who listens to us in Austin. And Jake says, Kate, the movement across this country over the chokehold has been very interesting to watch. I'm not so sure that this is a us against them deal, meaning Republican version, Democrat version. I don't think so. I think people were actually outraged by seeing the video of the guy saying, I can't breathe. Hearing him say, I can't breathe, and realizing he was selling cigarettes illegally, whether that was stupid or not, how he loses his life over that is just stunning. So did the cop do it wrong? What's the ultimate problem with this whole thing? And maybe it is that he thought he was doing it the way they taught him at the academy, but it really was a chokehold. Either way, nobody likes to hear about that story, and most people, no matter what their politics, can't bury it away. It's just flat out wrong. What a tragedy, especially before a giant holiday, a man who has kids who clearly was trying to make some money. Yes, he was doing it illegally, but did it have to go that far? Yeah, we go back to the resisting arrest thing, though, that the cops can't walk away from it. They're called to go and question him. They're called to find out what's happening. They can't put on the police report, geez, it's only illegal cigarettes, we're going to let him go. You know, it's not the Keystone cops. And this is the problem. And I think we're starting to get into that. We're clashing with culture. You're clashing with police departments and policies. And that has to be clear. I think you'll see some changes, especially with the cameras. I mean, that's absolutely going to be a mandatory thing. However they have to fund it, come up with the money, those body cams, I think you're going to see everywhere, from the east to the south to everywhere in between, because that would be one way to end some of the disputes anyway. Thanks to all of you who emailed the show. You can do it too, americatonight.net.
Receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNLive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNLive.com.